Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Father, we love you, and we do come in a posture of surrendering to say you are God and we are not. And yet again, Lord, we surrender ourselves to your lordship. We surrender ourselves to your presence in our lives, and we're so thankful for it. We're so thankful, Lord, for your love for us, and we're so thankful, Lord, that by your grace, you allow us to come to you by faith. As we hear the story of one of our heroes of the faith tonight, we pray that you would transform us to be more filled with faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. For it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Tonight, as we continue on our journey through the great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we come to verse 7. And verse 7 is all about Noah. You're very familiar with the story of Noah and the ark. But I wanted to remind us of this within the context of what the writer of Hebrews writes in Hebrews 11, verse 7. So that'll be the theme for our message tonight. Hebrews 11, verse 7 says this, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." You know, you return to the story of Noah and you think about the great amount of faith that was required for Noah to do what he did. God called Noah to build a boat in the middle of the desert for a flood that would come, but would not come for a long, long time. Noah was filled with faith, and we're going to hear his story tonight. I want to invite you to look back with me at Genesis chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 5 through 22, just to be reminded of this story and reminded of the impetus behind the building of the ark and how God was judging the world, but how God was extending his mercy even through it. So Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, 'I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, and of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them." Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Really want us to see two major points from this story tonight as we look at the faith of Noah. The first point is this, that God knows, grieves, and judges our sin. You know, God looked upon the earth and he saw that the intention of every human heart was only evil all the time. But Noah the Bible says, walked with God. That's the same word that was used of Enoch. You remember Enoch we discussed a couple of weeks ago? Noah walked with God. He was blameless in his ways. Now, something that's very important for us to understand is that blameless does not mean sinless. Noah was not sinless. There's only one sinless human being ever to have lived. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Noah was blameless in his ways such that he walked with God, and the attitude of his life was to trust and follow God. And one of the things we see through the Great Hall of Faith is that faith works. And what I mean by that is this. Faith never stops at just faith. Faith in Almighty God carries forth to action. Our lives are changed. They are different because of our faith in God. When God looked out and surveyed all the human beings on the earth, what He saw was a world that was corrupt, filled with sin, and God, knowing that sin, grieved to His core because of that sin, judged that sin. You know, it's not popular to talk about judgment these days, but frankly, it wasn't popular to talk about judgment in those days. It's never been popular to talk about judgment. Even when you're a kid in school and the teacher is going over the list of rules and the corresponding consequences, that's not popular. And it's certainly not popular when you're accused of breaking a rule, meaning that you're going to have to deal with a consequence. That is never popular. But the reality is that God is fully aware of our sin. We don't sneak anything by Him. We don't get anything by Him. And He's grieved by our sin. As He is aware of our sin, He is grieved by our sin, and He will judge our sin. And so the reality is that there will come a day when we will all give an account for the way that we have lived our lives. Have we lived lives according to the flesh, seeking only to please ourselves and seeking only to do that which seems profitable to us in the moment? Or have we lived lives of faith where we have placed our trust in our God? Noah placed his trust in his God. But the first point we have to see is that the story of Noah in the ark is a story of God's judgment of the earth. I know it's a children's story. I know we have all the little toys and the little arcs and the songs and the animals. They came by twosies, twosies, elephants and kangaroosies, roosies. And I loved that song when I was a little kid. But ultimately, the story of Noah and the ark is the story of God's righteous judgment of a wicked world. And it wasn't pretty. You know, it talks about the rain falling for 40 days. Maybe you remember the song, 40 Days and Nightsies, Nightsies. Well, it wasn't just that the rain fell. It was that the springs of the earth burst forth. And maybe you've seen those Discovery Channel or National Geographic Channel specials about what could happen at Yellowstone as the entire heartland of America explodes under this volcanic pressure. That's the sort of picture that we have to see here. This was not just the gentle pittering and pattering of some rain. This was the springs of the earth bursting forth. This was a violent occurrence. The judgment of God is nothing to be trifled with. The judgment of God is nothing really to be joked about. The judgment of God is serious business, and the judgment of God comes. And it comes for all people. Now, here's the thing. We can either endure the judgment for our sin, or someone else can endure that judgment in our place. The good news of the gospel is that God so loved us, we who were worthy of His righteous judgment, that He sent His Son to endure that judgment in our place. That's what the cross was all about. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sin, for the wages of sin is death and separation from Almighty God. Jesus died in our place to pay the price for our sin. He was our sinless substitute who died for us. So our sin was still judged. If you're in Christ, your sin is not forgotten totally. It was judged at Calvary. Because it was judged at Calvary, it is washed away and forgotten. Does that make sense? So God knows about our sin. He is grieved by our sin, and He judges our sin. The second point, though, is what is so amazing about this story. The second point is that God gives mercy to all who will receive it by faith. Noah believed God. Noah had faith in God. And there's proof. When God told Noah to build a big boat in the desert, you know what Noah did? Well, Genesis 6:22 tells us that Noah did all that God commanded him. Do you know why Noah did all that God commanded him? Because he had faith in God. He believed God. He trusted God enough to follow His command. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, we get a perspective from the pen of Simon Peter as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. We get a perspective about the goodness and mercy of our God. You think about the fact that the world hasn't come to an end yet. You think about the fact that our world that is very worthy of judgment has yet to be fully and finally judged yet. And Peter tells us why. He says in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 of 2 Peter, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." In other words, God's judgment is coming. It is coming for everyone. Either you will give an account for your own life and you will be judged for your own sin, or you will come humbly, surrendering to Jesus, receiving Him as Lord and Savior, and entrusting that what He accomplished through His cross and resurrection is enough to cover over all of your sin. Those are the two options. But the day of judgment will come. And listen to what Jesus Himself said. This is Matthew chapter 24, first verses 37 through 39, and then verse 44. "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So the point that Jesus is making is this. You know, Noah was laboring, toiling, building the ark because he believed God and he was willing to follow God's command. I'm sure he faced ridicule. I'm sure people thought he was crazy. I'm sure there were even times where he thought what he was doing was crazy, but nevertheless, he trusted God and he followed God's command. And then the time came when the floods came. And I can promise you that in that moment, Noah looked foolish no longer. In fact, I can promise you that there were plenty of people who, after the floods came, would have loved to have been on that ark, but the time of mercy had come to an end. The time of judgment had come. The door to the ark had been closed. Those inside the ark, Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, all the mating pairs of animals, they were fine. Those outside the ark were not. And what Jesus says is when He returns to gather together His people and to judge the world, at that time the day of mercy will be over and the day of judgment will have come. For all who are in Christ, who have surrendered their lives to Jesus, who have repented of sin and received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior to trust and follow Him, they're going to be just fine. Those outside of Christ will not be. And so the question for us is, are we ready? Noah and his family were ready for the flood because they trusted God. Are you ready for the judgment to come? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone by receiving Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Well, that's the question we all have to answer. And as we close our time together tonight, I would just say this. If you've yet to give your life to Christ, come to Him today. The door is open. His arms are open to receive you. He desires to be in relationship with you, but you must come. Will you come now? Let's pray. Oh, Father, I don't know who's a part of this. I don't know who's listening, who's watching, but Lord, I pray that you are speaking to hearts right now. And if anyone has yet to surrender their all to you, Lord, we pray that right now, in Jesus' name, you would draw them, that they would come to you as your arms are open. Just as that ark door was once open, your arms are open to receive them, that they might come to you and find rest and shelter and everlasting hope. Lord, we know that the day will come when the time of mercy will have passed and the time of judgment will have come, just as it did in the days of Noah. And I pray for everyone who's a part of this. And we pray for so many that we love and so many all around the world. We pray for every human being on the face of the earth that they would come to Jesus and find life. That the death Jesus died on the cross would cover over their sin because they receive that gift of salvation by faith. We're thankful for the example of faith that we have in Noah. And we pray, Lord, that we would be the sort of people who trust You and who follow You all the days of our lives. And Lord, before we bring our time together to an end, yet again, we join together our hearts and our minds and even our voices to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us tonight. And we would love for you to join us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. as we continue to worship our God together. We hope to see you then. God bless you.